You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Join Walking Baseball Encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors both present and past. Subscribe to Locked On MLB today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is a daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vin Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, here with Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, the Dodgers did not win last night, and the Giants did win. So with 22 games to go, the Dodgers are currently two games back.
Yeah, it's a little bit frustrating. You know, coming in, a sweep of the Cardinals wasn't realistic, but the Dodgers still have a very good chance to win 3 out of 4, and yet the best they can do in this series is lose half a game of ground on the Giants because the Rockies are worthless.
Yeah, the Dodgers, if any game, I guess, was going to be the one the Dodgers lose, it would be when the Cardinals had a starting pitcher and the Dodgers had a guy that's been inconsistent this year and has only started a couple times, which is what happened with Mitch White and Adam Wainwright. We'll talk a little bit more about the offense against Wainwright and in general. This episode, we're going to talk about the game. We're going to talk about some reinforcements on the pitching side that are coming soon. And then talk a little bit about some Hall of Fame things. Derek Jeter and Larry Walker and a couple others were enshrined into the Hall of Fame. And we'll talk about some Dodgers that maybe should be or could be inducted into the Hall of Fame. But before all that, a quick reminder, subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play a podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, Jeff, so the Dodgers lost 5-4 to the Cardinals. It was a game where they were trailing. Well, they were up early in the first half of the inning, and then the bottom half, they were down 3-1. Never quite caught up. They put up a threat in the ninth inning, but it was too little, too late. And just thoroughly, for the most part, got dominated by Adam Wainwright, who threw the fastest pitch of the night at 91 or 92 miles an hour.
Yeah, it was, the first inning looked really promising. The Dodgers got three hits, only ended up with one run to show for it, but they were hitting the ball hard, and it looked like it was going to be a long night for Adam Wainwright, and unfortunately it was a long night for Adam Wainwright, but not the way we wanted. He pitched for a long, long time and almost got a complete game, and the Dodgers kind of made a valiant effort at the end, tried to come back, but, what looked like a meaningless home run by Tyler O'Neill in the seventh or eighth inning or whatever ended up being the difference of the game, or you could say the Mookie Betts getting thrown out at home plate in the first inning was the difference of the game. A lot of little different things that could have gone differently, but yeah, at the end of the day, it's a frustrating loss. You know, I recognize Adam Wainwright is still good, but it seems like I don't know. It was a frustrating game to watch.
You know, the Dodgers got to him right away off the bat. I think, you know, obviously, hindsight, they should have held Mookie and had two more chances with Will Smith and Taylor, I think. But either way, they should have got more the rest of the way. Adam Wainwright had six innings where he went 1-2-3. That's not ideal for the Dodgers in any offense, no matter who's in there. But like I said, it's one they got to, I guess, push off to the side, move forward, and try to get the series win on Thursday. And on Thursday, the Dodgers will be throwing Tony Gonsolin as the starter. And he is one guy that they haven't seen pitch in a while. And supposedly his shoulder feels great and he's ready to go. I don't expect him to give the Dodgers much length. I don't think they expect that either. But 3 or 4 innings out of Gonsolin would be a good step in the right direction for him.
Yeah, and really it's going to... The thing I'm looking for is how's his command, because like we talked about the other day, if his command issues were because of the shoulder issues, there's a decent chance he could come back and be pretty solid, you know, if the shoulder issue being resolved resolves the command issues. But, you know, we won't really know till he's on the mound, and it's a kind of a precarious position to be in going into it where, you know, again, you know, it's not a must-win game, but... you'd definitely rather go into the weekend down by a game and a half instead of 2.5 down. The Cardinals, last I heard, they don't have a starting pitcher. Oh, now they do. Apparently Woodford, who's a reliever. So they're going bullpen game, it looks like. So hopefully the Dodgers offense can show up and Gonsolin can be, you know, his ERA this year is 2.78. He's actually been good, but he's definitely had some good luck there where he's wiggled out of jams caused by walking guys. So, you know, Gonsolin's stuff has been good this year. It's just been the command. So, you know, there's reason for hope. And like you said, if he can give them any length at all, that's, you know, in some ways the main thing they need.
Length. I mean, going into this weekend, they will have Julio Buehler, Scherzer against the Padres, so theoretically their bullpen won't have to pitch as much. But if Gonsolin can give them three or four, maybe even five, if he can go really efficiently, that'll be a good thing just for the bullpen overall and just for the Dodgers overall. The other person that's coming back that will help the pitching staff is Clayton Kershaw. He said that he's going to pitch on Monday for the Dodgers. Dave Roberts kind of laid out a plan of 4 innings, 60 pitches, whatever comes first. You know, not necessarily, you know, the Dodgers pitching isn't what's necessarily struggling. Even with all these bullpen games, for the most part, they've been holding teams to not that many runs. But having Clayton Kershaw back in the rotation is a nothing but a positive and gives him at least three starts, probably four starts before the postseason to get ready and get right.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like you said, the pitching, the Dodgers have only allowed, this was only the 45th time this year the Dodgers have allowed even five runs in a game. Their pitching has been really good, but this bullpen has been taxed. And, you know, even in this game on Wednesday where, yeah, like I said, the home run by Tyler O'Neill ended up being the difference, and that was off a pitcher who maybe shouldn't be in the big leagues, you know, and wouldn't be if the Dodgers hadn't had so many injuries. So, you know, Shane Green has been somewhat of a pleasant surprise at times, but he's also he definitely doesn't have the stuff he used to have, and he's a good example of a guy who, yeah, you know, probably doesn't belong in the bullpen of a team that's hoping to win the World Series. And the more guys like Kershaw and Gonsolin the Dodgers get back, the more guys like Shane Green or, you know, name any one of 100 guys who spent time on the Dodgers roster this year won't be in the big leagues. And so even though pitching isn't the issue, every run prevented is as good as one scored. And so I think it's all a positive thing.
That's the biggest thing too, is just getting two guys back that theoretically should be better pitchers than at least two of the guys on the roster. Strengthening the overall pitching staff is a big benefit. We're going to talk right now about the offense, but do you have anything else to add in this realm before we head on to that?
Just one little note that, you know, we mentioned on yesterday's episode that Max Scherzer would be going for his 3,000th strikeout on Saturday. This insertion of Gonsolin into the rotation bumps Scherzer back to Sunday. So if you were planning on being at Dodger Stadium to watch Max Scherzer get his 3,000th career strikeout, you need to change your tickets to Sunday instead of Saturday.
All right, we're going to come back and talk about the Dodger offense, so make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. I share a bed with a Pro Bowl quarterback, an Olympic swimmer, and a national women's soccer star. But let me explain. When I heard how many elite athletes sleep on a molecule mattress and call it their best sleep ever, I ordered one for myself, and they were spot on. I'm no elite athlete, unless it's in slow pitch softball, but there's always sleep issues, hot slash night sweats, waking up with a store stiff back or neck, or just general being uncomfortable in a bed. Molecule Sleep scientists literally created the world's most perfect mattress. It's unlike any other mattress in a box. It's cool to the touch, has 6 times the airflow of any old mattress that you may have. It has zone reflex layers that adjust with me in all my weird sleep positions, and it's antimicrobial. Molecule Mattress is how elite athletes and me, Vince Samperio, get the best sleep ever. Sleep on your Molecule Mattress risk-free for 100 nights. If you don't have your deepest, most restorative sleep ever, return it. Visit onmolecule.com and save 20% with promo code LOCKEDON right now. That's again, that's 20% off with promo code LOCKEDON at onmolecule.com. Let me paint a familiar picture for you. You've got a device that lets you watch the Dodger game live, another one that's letting you watch your and stream your favorite TV shows. You're watching the Giants game on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. All right, Jeff, let's talk about a reoccurring theme with this Dodger team, and that's the offense or lack of offense. They did manage to put up four runs, but like I said, six innings. They went 1-2-3 and just generally were not that great at all against Adam Wainwright. Max Muncy, who's been one of the ones struggling lately, had some things to say after the game. He called the offense inconsistent, and I quote, "Pitchers come out and they give us their best, and we really haven't been giving our best back at them. It's one of those things where we have the talent and we're just not putting it together. We haven't been able to do it all year. I think if you ask anyone on this team, they'll tell you we've really sucked on the offensive side." Dave Roberts went on to add that he doesn't have an answer, but, quote, "clearly the last 30 days we just haven't been ourselves. The pitching and defense has really allowed us to win a lot of ball games. There's going to come a time when the offense has to pick up some slack, too." Jeff, is this offense going to pick up that slack?
I assume they are because, you know, despite what Muncy says, and obviously you believe that Muncy is being sincere there, and there's some truth to what he's saying. They also have scored the most runs in baseball this year. And so it's, you know, which I think that makes it worse because everybody can see the potential they have. And then so to have a stretch like this where they're just not scoring when we know how good they can be, I think that makes it extra frustrating for us as fans and for the players, you know, and I assume for Roberts as a manager. And so the good news in my mind is there's no obvious reason, like other than Cody Bellinger, who does seem like maybe he's lost and isn't going to find it this year. There's no reason to think that the other guys who are struggling are going to continue to struggle indefinitely. The only question is, when will they stop struggling? You know, and it's, you know, Muncy's shown signs of breaking out. Mookie's shown signs of breaking out. JT's shown signs. You know, Chris Taylor has been struggling pretty bad lately, but we know how good he can be when he's right. And so the way I see it, it's entirely possible that, you know, two or three of those guys can find it in the next couple days. And the Dodgers, you know, like, I don't even know how many games they have left. What do they have left? 22, something like that. And, you know, it wouldn't shock me if the Dodgers go 18-4 or 19-3 in those games. But also, unfortunately, with the way the offense is playing, it wouldn't surprise me if they went 12-10, and 12-10 isn't going to get the job done, you know? And so they are going to need to play better, and we know they can do it, but I don't think anybody can tell you what they need to do, although Twitter will try to tell you. You know, everybody tells you, they're just not even trying to make adjustments. I saw that tonight. I'm like, do you really think these professional hitters whose livelihood depends on playing baseball well are just content to struggle and not try to make adjustments? Like, I don't understand what Dodgers Twitter thinks, what adjustments they think they'd be able to see on TV, you know, that for with their little league experience. And, you know, I don't know. I got frustrated tonight with some dude who claims to be a Dodger fan but seems to just hate the Dodgers. It's like, you know, stop being so miserable. But if you're going to be miserable, at least stop talking to me about it. Like, and thinking that they know, and I know everybody just comes from a standpoint of you want the Dodgers to be better, and so just grasping at straws. Even you and I yesterday, we played hitting coach a little bit on the show. But to say they don't even care, they're not even trying to make adjustments, it's just like, shut up, you idiots, you know?
It's just been a mixed bag, and there was a few points in the season where they were rolling and all rolling together. A lot, one of them was early in the season, and then it's just kind of been inconsistent since then. I mean, we've even seen them put 20 runs up one day and then struggle to get one run in the same week, and it's just a matter of time is getting a lot shorter than it was before, and it's a matter of not can they break out. If they break out, it's like you kind of need to break out, because like you said, 12-10, even 14-8 is probably not going to win you the division. They really have to go on a run, kind of how they did last month, 19-4, or hopefully 19-3 since it's 22 games. They really have to go on a run like that in order to avoid the one game playoff, and you'd feel a little bit better. Dodgers went 19-3. That means their offense is probably somewhat clicking. and they're heading into a one-game playoff if not. But if the Dodgers don't do that, they go right on right over 500. They offense continues to struggle. There's not a lot of confidence going into a one-game playoff, even though they'd be playing a team that's theoretically worse than them in probably multiple facets. In one game, you never know what's going to happen, and we've seen Blake Snell shut down the Dodgers for one game, and we've seen, well, we may see Luis Castillo shut down the Dodgers for one game here in the next couple weeks, but hopefully not. Instilling some confidence in themselves. They don't need to instill confidence in fans. That's not their job necessarily, but I would like to have some confidence instilled in the offense.
But the fact is, if the Dodgers did go 19-3, that's 107 wins. The Dodgers are going to win the division if they win 107 games. Right now, they're on pace for 102 wins. And you know, like we've talked about before, this would be a very successful season if the only thing different was the Giants playing the way we expected them to. But, you know, the fact is the Giants are playing how they're playing, and the Dodgers are probably going to need to win 103 or 104 games to win the division. But, you know, I think they can do it, and it really boils down to just executing and breaking out of these slumps, whatever it is. And I think it's probably something different for every guy, and they and the hitting coaches probably have a much better idea what that thing is for each guy than we do. And it could, it really is, you know, it's not like there's a switch they can flip, but it can change that quickly. And we could see them, you know, go on a run where they score 8 runs a game for the next 10 games. You know, we just don't know. And that's the frustrating part.
I think the other part too is just the fact of the Dodgers are usually built for the long haul. And this is what the injuries they sustain, they probably shouldn't be in the position they're in, and they are. But now with not that many injuries, with only 22 games left, all that's kind of thrown out the window, and it's really up to them to play better. And we had mentioned, or I had mentioned before, how I hadn't really seen the Dodgers lose games that they needed to win in late in the season. You know, they beat the Giants, they beat the Padres, they beat the D-backs when it actually mattered in September. This past weekend was the first time in a while that we hadn't seen them do that. And now they're, you know, hoping for other people to play well against the Giants, and they have to play well. So I think that's the biggest thing too, is that everything's kind of thrown out the window. It doesn't matter who's better on paper anymore. It's not a matter of who has the most depth. It's just a matter of who gets it done. And the season is getting shorter and shorter every day. So the Dodgers should probably start getting it done.
Yeah, absolutely. On a more rose-colored glasses kind of point of view, this is what the Dodgers built this team for. The Dodgers built a team. They said, let's build a team that can win 102 games even if everybody gets hurt and we have the worst injury luck in the history of the world. And they have, and that's what they're going to do. And so, you know, it's been a successful season based on what they set out to do, that's been really hit hard by injuries and surprised by a surprising Giants team. So, you know, and I'm not giving up. I still think the Dodgers are the most talented team in baseball. And if that talent shows up in October, we could be having a World Series parade in a couple months, you know? And I refuse to be miserable until the cause for misery actually happens. I'm not going to be preemptively miserable.
All right, we're going to come back and talk about some Hall of Fame stuff. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. That time of year again, not just baseball playoffs, but eyes are starting to turn to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests at BetOnline. That includes online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest, both open now. So head to BetOnline, check those out, and be sure to take advantage of their other promo, the opening day super promo, where you make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th opener tomorrow or today when you're listening to this, between the Bucks and the Cowboys, and if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25. This is for new customers only when signing up and using the promo code NFL100. From baseball, football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. This episode is also brought to you by RockAuto.com. RockAuto is the place to go for all your car parts and car accessories and car needs. Save time and money when using RockAuto. Save up to 100% on certain things at Rock Auto, 100% difference from what you would pay at a chain store or a car dealership. You will be supporting a family business that's been serving people online for over 20 years, and they pretty much have everything you can need for your car. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution to your auto part needs. That's rockauto.com. Head there right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, Jeff, so yesterday was the Hall of Fame induction. It was Ted Simmons and the late Marvin Miller, along with Larry Walker and Derek Jeter. Before we get into the kind of Dodger-specific way of this, did you watch any of it, or did you have any thoughts about it?
I just saw highlights. I didn't watch any of it live. I saw a couple clips here and there. The Hall of Fame ceremony is something I don't know if I've ever watched it live. Maybe one time. I think I watched when Ryan Sandberg was inducted. I remember watching that one, not because of him necessarily, just because I watched it. But it always seems to be happening when there's baseball going on. It's I think it's usually on a Sunday afternoon. In the past, this year it wasn't. It was just in the middle of the week, and so it's like I have work to do and stuff, so I didn't really watch any of it. I'm a big Larry Walker fan, so I was happy that he got in. I think Ted Simmons has been deserving for a long time. Marvin Miller, obviously deserving for a long time, and Derek Jeter was a no-brainer. And so, I enjoy watching clips of those talks. Some of the Dodgers induction speeches I've watched repeatedly. I've watched Duke Snyder's. I've watched Tommy Lasorda's several times, so I like them, but I don't necessarily feel a need to see them as they're happening, I guess.
Shout out to MLB for having this on a random Wednesday when there was games going on towards the end of it. They continue to not understand how to have things in prime time and away from other things this year. I know some of it's COVID stuff, but this year they also had the draft the same time as like All-Star weekend and week, so it's kind of all weird. They should probably do a better job of promoting this, and especially with a guy like Derek Jeter, it could have been in a primetime slot when maybe there's no other games going on, but or at least less games going on. But whatever the case, it was cool. There was nothing really special. Derek Jeter's speech was cool. Larry Walker's speech was cool. Those are the two I watched. Nothing that really stood out. But I know you had found something from our buddies over at Dodgers Nation that they had posed a question about potential Dodgers Hall of Famers. I think you said it was Oro Hershiser, Fernando Valenzuela, Gil Hodges, and who was the last one?
Steve Garvey.
And if any of those guys are deserving to be in the Hall of Fame, you probably have a lot better answer than I do. You saw some of those guys play, and you have a better knowledge of their stats maybe and how and then their place in baseball lore. So I will let you handle the question first.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. They actually the way they phrased it, it said there are plenty of Dodgers with Hall of Fame credentials who aren't in Cooperstown. If you could put one Dodgers great that isn't in the Hall of Fame, who would it be? Ignoring the grammatical errors in that question, I guess. The implication is that all four of these guys are have the credentials to be in the Hall of Fame. And but if you could only pick one, which one would it be? And for me, it's interesting because I love all these guys. But Gil Hodges is the only one I would put in the Hall of Fame probably. And even him on another day, I might not. It's basically him winning the World Series with the Mets as a manager is what kind of pushes him over the top. But based on their playing careers, I just don't think any of these guys are quite worthy of the Hall of Fame, as much as I love them all. I wouldn't mind saying, I think there's definitely worse players than all these guys in the Hall of Fame. None of them, if they got elected, you would say, oh, he's the worst guy in the Hall of Fame. But, Hershiser and Fernando both just didn't have the longevity. They had injury issues. They didn't, they were at their peak. They're both Cy Young Award winners. They both were clearly, among the best pitchers in baseball at their peak. But for both of them, that peak just didn't last very long because of health reasons. And Steve Garvey was, even when he was getting MVP votes every year, he won the MVP in 74, I think, or one of those years. But if you look at it, like, he wasn't even the best player on the Dodgers any of those years. He was just a consistent guy. He played every day. He was the All-American boy and everything. And I love Steve Garvey, but like his actual stats, you look at, he's like, yeah, he was a good, solid player for a long time, but not a Hall of Famer. And Gil Hodges was kind of the same, a little bit better than Garvey. Played for, you know, a long time, 20 years or so. Played on some really good teams, but even for him, like, I need that World Series win as a manager to give him the bump. So, like, I don't know that there are any Dodgers who deserve to be in the Hall of Fame and aren't necessarily right now for me, you know, and that will change. I think the Hall of Fame has done pretty good as far as the Dodgers go.
Obviously, for Dodger fans, Oral Hershiser holds a place in a lot of people's hearts for 88 season and winning that World Series. Fernando holds a special place, not just for Dodger fans, but just, you know, Mexicans in general, which I guess is his main argument for Fernando is kind of that, the historical and cultural impact that he had on the game, more so than his entire body of work. He had about a 5 or 6 year stretch where he was an all-star in Cy Young in his first year and all that stuff. But then, you know, he played 17 years, but really other than 5 or 6 of those, he was just kind of a decent starting pitcher and pitcher overall. And when it comes down to, you know, Garvey, I've never really felt he had those numbers. And anyways, even his MVP year I don't know how many other people were could have been deserving that year, but it wasn't like a crazy impressive stat line even for those times. So Gil Hodges, I don't have too much knowledge of him, but just looking at him, you know, he has a 5 or 6 year stretch too where he was making all-star teams every year, but that's really it. I think he had 8 total, and I think like 6 in a row or 7 in a row. But yeah, in terms of the Dodgers, I mean, anyone that's kind of needed to be in has been in. They have a few guys that are in there that didn't go in with the Dodger cap, but still ended up making it. I guess of all these, and this is something we've kind of talked about before, but in terms of guys like this, like these four, and maybe even a couple else we can find to throw in there, is a matter of should the Dodgers, you know, they have their own little Hall of Fame or their legends or whatever it's called. Should they start maybe retiring some of these numbers?
Yeah, and I think in a lot of ways this wouldn't be an issue. Like, if the Dodgers would just retire Fernando's number, I think people wouldn't necessarily push for him to make the Hall of Fame as much. You know, Fernando, they haven't given his number to anybody, so it's essentially retired, so it's silly that they haven't just officially retired it. You know, Hershiser, a lot of people have worn his number, but it's totally deserving of being retired. You know, I'm kind of iffy on the whole issue of retired numbers anyway. I feel like, you know, I've mentioned this before probably, that there's probably better ways to honor a player, like actually having his number be worn. You know, say, okay, this year, because you are the most whatever player on this team, this year, you know, hey, Mookie, guess what? You get to wear number 42 this year, you know? The guy who leads the team in RBIs gets to wear, you know, whatever, you know, there's things you could do if you wanted to honor these players, or just, you know, not worry too much about whose number is retired and whose isn't. Going back to the Hall of Fame thing, I do think, you know, when you were talking about Fernando, if it was really a Hall of Fame with focus on fame, Fernando probably is a Hall of Famer, you know, as far as being well-known, as far as being famous. And there's a lot of guys who, you know, if we're just talking about fame, they should be in the Hall of Fame. The way the Hall of Fame has always been, though, it's been for the best players. And I sometimes wonder if they ought to maybe open it up a little bit more. You know, some of the other sports leagues' Hall of Fames are a little bit more liberal on who gets in. And basically, I mean, basically, if you're a good basketball player for 5 or 6 years, you're going to end up in the Hall of Fame eventually. Kind of same with the NFL. And guys who, you could make a pretty good case. There's a lot of guys who had what everybody would consider disappointing careers who are in the Hall of Fame in some of those other sports. And, you know, maybe there ought to be room for that with some of these guys. I don't know, other than Fernando, you know, Hershiser, I don't think gets in on that either. They would basically just have to say, you know what, we just want more people in the Hall of Fame, and kind of lower the bar performance wise for Oral to get in. But, you know, they're, I think with the Hall of Fame, you could definitely make a case that there should be more guys in for fame reasons who maybe don't quite cut the mustard for performance standards.
Yeah, for me, I kind of like the somewhat exclusive nature of the Baseball Hall of Fame. And the other part, too, is, I mean, if you've ever been to the Hall of Fame, all these guys mentioned are probably are in there currently or have been in there at some point. I mean, it's a pretty nice museum of telling a baseball story throughout the years. So, like, just the having a little plaque, you know, I'm cool with keeping that more exclusive, maybe opening it up to, I don't know, have including more historical things or keeping more historical things or maybe even making it bigger in order to kind of fit everything. But at the end of the day, you know, it's all kind of semantics. It doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. And I would like to keep them exclusives just so, you know, when Clayton Kershaw makes it, it feels that much better.
And like you said, Fernando Valenzuela may not be a Hall of Famer, quote unquote, but I would imagine if you go walk around the Hall of Fame, you will see his name at least 6 or 8 times.
All right. That's going to do it for today's episode, unless you have anything else, Jeff.
No, we'll be on Green Room right after the game today. Day game. By the time you're listening to this, the game's probably about to start. So, and then join us on Green Room right after that.
Yeah, hop on Green Room, bring your questions, comments, concerns, whatever else you need or have, and be part of the show. Be part of Friday's episode. That's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening to Locked On Dodgers. Make sure to subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcasts. Tell your friends, family, coworkers, other people about us. We had mentioned before that YouTube is coming. YouTube is still coming. We just have to decide when that's exactly going to happen, but it will be coming. So if you're a YouTube person, you could hear us and watch us on there as well. We are on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or send us a text, you can do so at 323-863-LOCK. Or you can send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device, play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you later today.
Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts.